Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day. You know them, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 177. This is an amateur-free zone. Oh, by the way, heads up, June 12th is Pulse Remembrance Day. So take time away from remembering the beloved George Floyd and all his accomplishments and create awareness for and or of your pulse. Supply is running out of No Amateurs t-shirts. Go to lucyantini.com/shop. You'll see that you get a free No Amateurs keychain with every t-shirt that you buy. Go to lucyantini.com, click on the yellow donate button to support this podcast. It's paypal.me/amateurnation. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram, lou.santini3, to get a taste of what's to come in 60-second audiograms in the upcoming episode. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation.
Topic number one.
From the Western Journal, this headline: this week, elites in Switzerland set the stage for a cashless society and one world government. That is one heavy headline, but we saw it coming. Here's the article. This week, two powerful globalist bodies are meeting to advance ideas and proposals that would place enormous authority in fewer hands on two fronts that affect people worldwide. From May 22nd and May 28th, the World Health Assembly, with delegates from 194 nations, gathered at the UN headquarters in Switzerland. Up for a vote is a provisional agenda item 16.2, which was proposed by the White House and is backed by the EU and multiple nations. The amendments in item 16.2 will vest the Director General of the World Health Organization with the sole authority to declare healthcare emergencies in any country worldwide, and will force compliance with WHO's mandates, even if they go against a nation's objection. The article continues, the very definition of what constitutes a health crisis will rest entirely in the World Health Organization's hands, as well as how a nation must respond. WHO's authority will be backed by international law, making all its decisions legally binding and actionable. Translation. They think they found a loophole around an entire country's constitution, as in the world government supersedes a nation's government. This way, the U.S. government can say, well, it's not our rule, it's the world government rule, as if we answer to other countries. But it's making America literally owned by another governing body, a body that has only a basis in health. And obviously, we've seen how corrupt they are in that regard. But as we've seen, is a powerful weapon to make people comply under the guise of caring and selflessness, that is, protecting our health. It will give all the mask and vax maniacs something to rally behind, giving them finally the, well, it is a law now, it's a world law, and the comfort of staying in your face and your health/medical business anytime they see fit. The article continues saying, currently the rule is that the World Health Organization's Director General must first consult with a nation's governing authorities before taking any actions. The proposed amendments strike that requirement. So literally, one person at the World Health Organization makes it so that the entire world, each nation, is at the whim of his judgment and authority. Now, what do you think could possibly go wrong with that? The article continues, ultimately, the amendments represent a worldwide transfer of healthcare power into the hands of a single globalist organization and the whims, as I said, of its director general. See, this way, something goes wrong in Uganda with a virus, they'll have the so-called right and authority to shut down the entire planet under the guise of caring and healthcare. You know, like when one kid acted up in grade school and the whole class was punished. It's just like that. And if this passes, oh, there's going to be a virus that will be released immediately to shut down the planet so they can get us on digital currency and a cashless society, which is part two of this topic. Also taking place in Switzerland the very same week from May 22nd to 26th is the World Economic Forum's annual summit. The WEF is a powerful globalist organization that promotes a global model of governing the world's people. The WEF has created a digital currency governance consortium. Oh, that's convenient, which strongly advocates for a cashless society that relies entirely on central bank digital currencies to carry out all financial transactions, that is, digital currencies issued and controlled solely by governments and central banks. In simpler language, the article says, it's saying governments and central banks should possess oversight and authority over all digital crypto transactions. 90% of the world's central banks are now exploring government-issued digital currencies and how to make them a reality. China has already rolled out the digital yuan, Y-U-A-N, am I saying that correctly? Yuan, and banned the use of all other cryptocurrencies. The EU plans to have a digital euro by 2026, and the U.S. is exploring the creation of a digital dollar. Key to making all this happen is assigning digital wallets to businesses and individuals and requiring them to use them for all their transactions. For central bank digital currencies to become the sole means of carrying out all financial transactions would give governments and central banks full authority over where and how money is used. It would also give them the ability to open and close people's digital wallets based on their compliance with government dictates, making financial control a powerful means of people control. Here is what will indeed happen. You post something on social media they don't like, well, guess what? You don't get to take out money for food this week. On a larger scale, one day you go to your bank account and it's simply gone because the central bank thought it was in the best interest of the people. So you're not selfish to take your money and divert it somewhere else. You want to be a good citizen, don't you? Yeah, that couldn't happen. See, you're still thinking like the bank that you have now. Think how easy it will be when one central bank of the world, with a simple click, can decide whether or not you get to keep your money. Because as we all know, computers never make mistakes, right? One day you have a lot of money in the bank, next day, whoops, it's gone. And I'm sure it'll be real easy to call customer service to get that sorted out. Now, keep in mind, this whole article was an opinion piece, but this has been talked about for years, and they have met to get it done. If we had something as simple as Facebook, which was a way to connect people and ideas, transformed into an evil, tracking, election defrauding, commerce influencing, censoring intrusion into our everyday lives, this is going to not only control American spending, but simply steal it. You will own nothing, and you will be happy, Klaus Schwab, meaning you will have enough to get by. We own everything, but we will keep an eye on you. We'll keep you alive. Be grateful.
Topic number two.
Is Leah Thomas a dick or what? From 554th in the rankings as a male swimmer to one of the top-ranked male swimmers that happens to swim against women. I refuse to call her a female swimmer. This doesn't mean I don't think people have a right to identify as they wish, but if Leah Thomas wants to make it fair, she needs to get some breast implants to slow her down, lose the dick, lose the testosterone, get estrogen therapy, and yet he would still have bigger muscles, a bigger lung capacity, a bigger wingspan, which is big in swimming, and he would still have an unfair advantage. And now Leah is considering being an Olympic hopeful. It's easy for me to say, but all the women worldwide should pull out of competition if he's going to compete. In a recent interview on Good Morning America, he said, "People become trans to be happy and be their true selves, not to compete in athletics." I'm paraphrasing. Well, guess what he did? He competes in athletics. So did the weightlifter Laurel Tubelard. Sorry, Hubbard. Notice how no other countries are pulling this crap except for China, who had a male trans athlete on its women's soccer team. Just because you tape a dandelion to your face doesn't make you a tree. But as long as you're happy, con artists, it's mind-blowing how the world has been adjusting to the super small fraction of loudmouth, destructive, disrespectful, dishonorable, mentally ill few. If you want a taste of what's coming on each Sunday's episode, follow me on Instagram to see audiograms throughout the week, lou.santini3. Sneak Peek Thursday is on YouTube and my Facebook pages. It's every Thursday at 7 a.m. Eastern. Both of those accounts are Lou Santini Entertainment. Topic number three is next.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition.
Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur.
Amateur habitats and history.
Social media plus me, me, me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Did you get yours yet? The new No Amateurs men's and women's t-shirts and keychains. The men's tees are a soft, high-quality, pre-shrunk cotton poly blend
in sport royal blue, displaying the No Amateurs logo with the waving American flag centered atop.
Available in medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. The women's tees are a lightweight, super soft, high-quality, pre-shrunk cotton poly blend
in royal blue and are fitted, displaying the No Amateurs logo with the waving American flag.
Available in small, medium, large, and extra large.
The keychains are made from durable rubber with the No Amateurs logo and the waving American flag.
T-shirts just $22.95, keychains just $5.
Please add $6.95 for shipping and handling for all orders inside the U.S., but
free keychain with every t-shirt purchase, and if you spend $60 or more, your shipping is free. Available at lucianti.com/shop. Be a pro. Say no to amateurs and order your No Amateurs t-shirt and keychain today.
Topic number three.
I saw this post on Facebook by a man by the name of Diego Loredan showing the following. Picture this. It's a dump in Paris, France, with hundreds of dented, abandoned electric cars. Now, to be clear, they were not civilians' cars. They were cars that were used by the city of Paris in some civil capacity, whether they were cabs or power and water city vehicles, etc. The caption reads as follows. Everyone has the same problem. The battery storage cells are dead and need to be replaced. Why not replace them, you ask yourself? Well, there are two reasons. One, battery storage cells cost almost twice what a new vehicle costs. And two, no landfill or landfills will allow you to dump batteries there. So these green fairy electric cars are dumping toxins from the battery right into the ground. Still think we need to think green? Never forget this, folks. The reasoning behind electric cars from the powers that be is this. With electric cars, we control the fossil fuel and distribution as opposed to the consumer. Consumers are too stupid. We will tell them when and how much fuel, in the form of electricity, powered by fossil fuels, they can have. All cars need fossil fuels. Period. You know, when I go out to eat, I rarely order full meals. I like to order a bunch of things off the a la carte menu. You get to share it with the other person, you try more things, and it's less money. So here we go. This is a la carte. So Amateur Nation supports sending guns to Ukraine to help those poor human sex traffickers to protect themselves from the invading human sex traffickers. But America, yeah, you get nothing. Oh, because we don't have anyone invading us? And why do you think that is? Keep an eye on China and their commie dictator Justin Trudeau and see what he's doing to its citizens and their guns. China invades them, and the next thing you know, we got commies to the north. I know, it's another conspiracy theory. ProNation is only batting 1,000 since 2020. I wonder if they'll ban whatever car Nancy Pelosi's drunk hubby was driving. This is a gun-free zone. Could be the stupidest sign ever printed. I bet China wishes they had a Second Amendment right now. And speaking of China, since they could be banning all new guns, where are all the Hollywood celebs that are moving to China? The same people who were going to move there if Trump won. Answer, zero. Ever notice that Target never shows TV commercials with little trans children modeling their Tomboy X clothing line? Yeah, that's because it's icky, creepy, and wrong. And if you're going to call every conservative a racist or white supremacist, then I reserve the right to call every Democrat a commie pedophile groomer. I saw this logical tweet by the Trump Republicans on Instagram. After 9/11, we didn't ban planes. We secured the cockpits. Secure the schools. Take that, amateurs! How's that logic landing? You know, the last 2 years have had some of the most reckless and irresponsible and simply poor journalism in journalism history. Between the headlines, 4,000 dots that have to be connected to take a giant leap to pretend that they have an argument, censorship, inflammatory words, lies, false accusations, propaganda, false information, and full-on stupidity. You can add journalists to the list of institutions I no longer trust, including public school teachers and the medical profession. Case in point. Look at this. Listen to this headline here. We all know by now Amber Heard owes Johnny Depp $15 million for being a psycho bed pooper, but there was a photo on Twitter that showed Amber Heard being hugged, and some Twitter account called The Root. I don't know if that's a blog or if it's an actual physical magazine or what, but it's called At The Root. Here's your headline from them. Amber Heard verdict sends a message to black women everywhere. Explain to me how Amber Heard being a psycho, manipulative, abusive, drug-addicted bed pooper affects black women or any other women anywhere. But this is supposed to send a message to black women everywhere? So I suppose if this psycho won her case, the headline would read, Amber Heard verdict sends a message of hope to black women everywhere. Or would it be, Amber Heard wins case showing another case of white privilege? When in reality, the correct headline should have read, finally, an untalented psycho-toxic Hollywood brat bedshitter gets off easy for attempting to ruin a man's life. I ain't wrong. If you're still wearing a mask, especially outside, especially when alone outside, you're well past sad and you've officially reached pathetic. I always look forward to finishing off the show on a positive note. We always try to find three things that are done right in this world. They're called three pro things. Number one. On last week's episode, I reported yet another corporation, this time State Farm Insurance, that they were getting into the grooming game and asking their employees to donate money, yeah, you know, as in their salary, for 3 transgender grooming books to be made available to children ages 5 and up. I wrote and recorded the episode. By the next day, after the story had been out less than a week, I had cut the promo for the episode and State Farm had already backed out of the program, or as I call it, plot. From the very pissed off LGBTQNation.com website, here's your headline. State Farm pulls out of school book program after anti-LGBTQ extremists accuse them of grooming kids. Yeah, well, it's an accurate accusation. And I note how anyone who doesn't agree with the left are extremists. Last time I checked, conservatives don't and didn't riot, loot, or destroy America. Last time I checked, conservatives didn't tell people to wear masks or take untested gene experiments or get into physical altercations for those who did take it or wear the masks. Last time I checked, conservatives weren't even anti-LGBTQ. If it's extreme to not have any child be programmed or taught about any kind of sex or sexuality, then I'm totally fine with that label. The article says State Farm was going to partner with the Gender Cool Project to help give LGBTQ books to schools, community centers, and libraries. But in an email to employees, the insurance company canceled the partnership, saying that conversations about gender and identity should happen at home with parents, echoing language used to support Don't Say Gay bills. Yeah, and sidebar, nowhere in that bill in Florida does it say Don't Say Gay. But the left slash amateur nation loves buzzwords, loves cliches and catchy slogans over facts and real science. The article says, in January, State Farm emailed employees about the small partnership, which was going to involve six agents in Florida, giving some books to organizations in their community, part of a nationwide program involving 550 employees. The email did not give any reason to assume that the books would not be age appropriate. The three books that were going to be donated are being sold by the Gender Cool Project and are labeled as appropriate for ages 5 and up. Oh, well, so you're saying that the people who printed the books said it's okay? They have a label. Read away, kids. The label says so. Charlotte Clymer, an LGBTQ advocate, a title that means nothing, said State Farm pulled the plug because they got scared and decided it's more important to placate anti-LGBTQ extremists than stand beside the, you know, those letters, community in a moment of horrific uncertainty. Or in other words, they saw the implosion that is Disney and Target stock and said, we're not going to bankrupt our company in a few months that took 100 years to build. Oh, that and the fact that we're in the business of making money and insuring people, not talking about pee-pees and wee-wees to children. So we decided to stay in our lane. And sidebar, what exactly is this horrific uncertainty? What are they uncertain about? How is it horrific? Oh, it's nothing, but it sounds important and scary. Number two. You know, my heart is with the NHRA. I'm a big drag racing fan. It's my favorite sport. But my mind is still fascinated and loves Formula One. Thus, this documentary I found on Netflix called A Life of Speed, the Juan Manuel Fangio story. Here's your logline. Juan Manuel Fangio was the Formula One king, winning five world championships in the early 50s, before protective gear or safety features were used. Now, what I love about this documentary, they use actual footage from the 40s to present day to contrast and compare racing then and now. In theory, technology, driver ability, skill and nerve, safety, and most interestingly, tried to find a qualitative way to decide if Fangio is slash was the greatest driver of all time, with all of those above factors I just mentioned considered. Not to mention, they ask this question, which is more important, the racing team or the driver, the car or the driver? Now, two things jumped out at me in this documentary. One, they mentioned how back in the 40s and 50s, many drivers were older as experience mattered more. And most teams had one to two dozen on the racing team, mechanics and specialized members, engineers, architects, and designers. Today's average F1 team has 1,500 team members. They were saying the difference is that back then, everyone on the team, since the team was smaller, had a personal relationship with the driver and the car, and thus everyone had a more vested interest. But the other thing that jumped out at me, and I'm paraphrasing, is this. They said, back then, you had to have real art in your driving, but it was the precision in which you drove that won you races and championships. Today's cars are so technologically advanced that today's driver already has precision built in, so to speak. But to win races and championships, you need to drive with art. Man, I got choked up when they said that. This is a great documentary. I will admit, a lot of subtitles because you're dealing with Formula One drivers. And Fangio's Argentinian, and you're dealing with drivers all over the world, so a lot of different foreign languages, but it's well worth it. And to put the subtitles on or whatever. And anyone who saw Max Verstappen refuse to give up that corner on the final lap of the World Championship in last season's F1, and how he was a dozen or less centimeters apart down the straightaway, wheel to wheel against seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton, will see that exact example of driving with art. A Life of Speed, the Juan Manuel Fangio story. Check it out. Number 3. Okay, so besides laziness and condescension, hypocrisy is in the top 3 things I despise in people most. Here's a concise tweet that scratches me right where I itch. It's by a guy named @ClayTravis on Twitter. He said, Apple has stopped selling their products in Russia after the Ukraine invasion. Does this mean Apple would pull out of China and stop making and selling its products there if China invaded Taiwan? Love to hear someone answer this question at Apple. But they won't. Hey, follow me on Instagram at lou.santini3. Subscribe and or follow me at Lou Santini Entertainment on Facebook and YouTube. Go to Etsy, do a search for No Amateurs t-shirts, get yours today, or go to lousantini.com/shop. Get a free keychain with every order. Or email the show with a topic idea or comment, and you'll get both of those for free. And I've given out a lot of t-shirts. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Bye, Lou. Gonna miss you.